I am Platt on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. For me to try and define what Molly Peacock's latest book is would not do it justice. It's such a charming book with elegant, thoughtful writing, as well as marvelous illustrations by Kara Kosaka. The book is called Alphabetique, 26 Characteristic Fictions. There are 26 tales in this book, each one inspired by the lives of the letters of the alphabet, from A, who climbs a mountain, an Alp no less, to Z, who is a herpetologist. They're just such delightful pieces that remind us of the beauty and charm of words and the letters that make them up. I'll get Ms. Peacock, who joins me now, to tell us about the book. There's no one better, really, to tell us about this book and this abecedarium genre. I don't know if I pronounce that right. Molly Peacock is a poet, essayist, and nonfiction writer. Her most recent book was the number one bestselling, The Paper Garden. Mrs. Delaney begins her life's work at 72. Her memoir, Paradise, Piece by Piece, and her most recent poetry collection was entitled The Second Blush. She appears in sundry anthologies and publications. The website for more is at mollypeacock.org. The book is published by McClelland & Stewart. Please welcome to the Platt on the Line program, Molly Peacock. Ms. Peacock, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
I didn't pronounce that right. Abecedarium?
Abecedarium.
I did.
You got it. That's just right.
I got it the second time. that's the first time that I've encountered that word in the course of preparing for this. So for people listening to us, how do you explain that?
Well, an abecedarium book is a book that's based on the alphabet, and abecedarium comes from the first three letters of the alphabet, A, B, C.
I see.
So that's really what it is. It's a fancy word for an alphabet book, but usually we think of an alphabet book as being for children, and Alphabetique, 26 Characteristic Fictions, is for grown-ups. Although, it could be read by a wise child.
Yeah, yeah. For me, what I found quite interesting about it, when I read the book, was how it drew me in terms of just the seeming love that you have for words.
I really got to indulge all of the wordplay in me mm-hmm. in this book. I wanted it to play with words, but I also wanted the words to serve each story. This book is a collaboration between me and the illustrator Kara Kosaka. Each of the 26 tales has a wonderful collage, digital collage illustration. And Kara was playing off my play and off each story. And our premise was that we would that each story would have a character, and the character is a letter, and the letter is alive. So that, and very slowly throughout the book, the alphabet ages a bit. So, A is climbing an Alp, trying to name her first child. But Zed, the zoologist, is quite an elderly man, and ends up entering into a fascinating kind of transformation.
For you, what gives the letter life? Is it its shape?
Yes, I think I started off with that. Each tale kind of imitates the shape of the letter. So that because A is climbing an Alp, there's all this mountain imagery, and when we write an A or look at the letter A, it's like a little mountain. The letter L, she's lounging about, and that shape of an L on a chaise longue inspired the rest of the story. So they do begin with the shapes. The characters literally take the shape of the letter.
And as I said, what I enjoyed about the book was your love of words that's throughout this book. I guess you'd have to love words if you were a writer or a poet like you are.
Well, it gave me a chance to... I did pore over the dictionary, and it wasn't an online dictionary. I had to have an actual book dictionary mm-hmm. in front of me, because each story is constructed out of a lot of words that begin with that letter. But I didn't want to make it too obvious. Mm-hmm. I really wanted the story to flow. I mean, you can read these as tales. But in service of the tale is all this fun vocabulary that is in the shape of the letter. So, you know, you can be uncontrollable. Mm-hmm. and L can be languid. Mm-hmm. And M can, M's mom can have her money problems. Yeah. All of the plots of the stories began to evolve from the alliteration of the words.
And so how do you look at letters? Because letters can be written uppercase, lowercase. They can be cursive.
Oh, and some of these stories are definitely about a lowercase letter.
Hmm.
Like G is definitely a lowercase letter. He's a boy, and he hasn't grown up into his capital self yet. Y is a letter that never grew up. So he's always had to live his adult life as his small self. So there's a whole psychology that goes along with each of the characters as well.
Have you got a favorite in this book?
Oh, gee, that's like asking an artist what their favorite color is. I've gone in and out, I think you. I have discovered, asking people about their favorite letters, that people tend to be in love with their initials.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people will say that, and I know that I didn't write this book from A to Z. I didn't even know I was going to write the book in the beginning. I just started off telling a little story about C. C was my very first one. And he becomes a grandfather who hooks his grandchild under his arm and takes him up to bed in the end of the tale. And just that, the inspiration of that letter began kind of forming this for me, but I didn't know that I was going to continue. When Kara began to illustrate the tales, she picked K as her very first one. And I thought, oh, well, of course, because K is her first and last initial. And I know that I paid special attention to M for Molly and P for Peacock. I didn't know I was doing it.
Mm.
But as I labored over these tales, I thought, oh, I'm putting a little bit extra energy into these two.
And we can, is this a book we have to read cover to cover, or can we just...
Absolutely not. This is a dipping book.
Yeah, so that's what I did. I started at A, because I thought that's where we have to start if it's a book like this. And then I realized what the book was about, sort of, you know, got the sense of what the book was about. Mm-hmm. Then I went to J, because that's what my name starts
with. That's right.
Yeah, and I guess that's what, as you just said, that's what people have done, right?
Yes, I think people have done, I think that partly that just comes from your impulse and knowing that because they're discrete stories, you can jump around. On the other hand, if you do read them straight through, the alphabet does evolve. The earlier ones are growing up or stumbling in love or those kinds of things. The middle letters have more of a sense of maturity to them. There's some fun. There's a very fun old lady in X. Not all, you know, it doesn't age exactly in that way. But there's this sense of there's a kind of human psychology that operates throughout the alphabet. And I actually didn't know that was going to happen as I was writing the stories.
See, that I was going to just say that it seems like there's a process, and I guess there is life, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious to know if you wanted to say something in the course of writing this book about how life evolves.
I gave myself some rules. Each tale had to have alliteration. It had to have what I think of as a nugget of wisdom, and the character had to follow the shape of the letter. And as I was working through them, and I draw, and there are colors and there's food, but I didn't want to make those are like little motifs. Mm-hmm. If this were a book of music, there would be little motifs that you'd hear in the behind the themes. The whole book adds up to some statements about life and about learning how to be a person and about the dilemmas. Each letter in some ways faces a kind of family dilemma. There's H, who grows up being the littlest among all those haranguing huge brothers, the father and the mother arguing, nothing that he had. He's got nothing to himself. He doesn't even have a towel to himself in the house. And then when he grows up, he discovers hotels. And the story is called Hotel Religion. And there, suddenly, in all of this, there becomes a spiritual strand there inside the alphabet. And are these, I intended to pressure myself to get to some sense of my own wisdom in each one, but I didn't realize that this was a book about families until I got kind of in the middle of it and thought, oh, each tale has these interrelationships, and people solve their dilemmas in some ways through discovering the essence of themselves, and because they're letters, we find the essence of how that letter is drawn or designed, and that's where Kara comes in with her illustration.
How did you guys hook up to work together?
If you can believe it, Kara and I have never met in person.
Really?
We are going to meet in person on Monday when she is flying to Toronto for the launch of Alphabetique. But we were introduced by C.S. Richardson, who is both the art director at Penguin Random House and the author of a splendid novel called The End of the Alphabet, which was quite inspiring to me. It's a wonderful novel. And he showed me Kara's work, and I fell in love with it, and showed Kara the stories, and we started off very tentatively emailing back and forth, and then developed a process where on Thursday evening around midnight Vancouver time, she would email me a draft of a collage for one of the letters. And then I'm a poor sleeper, so about 4:30 in the morning, I usually wake up just for a little 15, 20 minutes there.
Yeah.
And I would, of course, open up my iPhone and look at the illustration because I couldn't wait. I thought, I can't wait till the morning. I have to see it. And then I would think about it and then sometimes comment saying, gee, what about adding this shape, or what about this color? And we talked back and forth on the phone and by email and developed an amazingly intimate working relationship. It's really, we became so in tune really almost immediately. I was such a fan of her work, and the things that she picked up in the stories weren't the things that I necessarily thought were the most important.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly another dimension came up because of her illustration. I used the idea of music before, and I realize now it's kind of like a lyricist working with a composer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. I didn't know that until you mentioned that just now. And I just assumed that you'd met or something like that. And but I mean, there is such a connection between her work, your words.
Oh yeah, it is. It's quite amazing, and I think that partly that is C.S. Richardson, yeah. who is. I mean, he just had this intuition that we would work well together, and it just came out to be quite incredible. And he would chime in, and my editor Lara Henchberger would chime in, and there was a kind of quartet of us on email going back and forth about the stories and the illustrations.
And one assumes that as a poet, it'd be easy to get into the realm of fiction. This is your first work of fiction, is that correct?
Was
there a difference in process for you?
Absolutely, yeah. Because I have a confession to make.
Mm-hmm.
That little tale about C began as a poem, and then I realized that there was more to it than a poem, and that I didn't... As a poem, you know, you just kind of, you make leaps between lines and between images, and you expect your reader to follow you. And people who read poetry do that. They expect to do that. And they expect a poem, they expect to wrestle a little bit with a poem. But as we read a story, we don't expect to wrestle quite that much. We want sequence. We want time passing. And I remembered the tales that I loved reading as a girl. And while I'm not writing, I didn't write these for young people, there is an impulse of the kind of story that's old-fashioned. These are a bit old-fashioned, I think. And so the narration kind of came out of the poem. I had the nugget of an image, an idea, and then began to stretch it, like let it relax into sentences, and let those sentences relax into paragraphs. And I do write prose, but I write nonfiction. Mm-hmm. The Paper Garden, Mrs. Delaney Begins Her Life's Work at 72, is both a biography and a meditation on late life art. And it's illustrated. I'm very interested in illustration, and McClelland and Stewart has been fantastic in reproducing these illustrations in both The Paper Garden and Alphabetique.
Yeah, it is. Alphabetique certainly is a gorgeous book.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I can hardly stand it, and it's reasonably priced, so it's a beautiful hardcover that's affordable. And I actually think that this is the future of the book as an object.
Yeah.
That this is 21st century, a 21st century object that we can hold in our hand, that we want to read because of its combination of literature and the visual. And, of course, it looks great. I have to say, it looks great on an iPad. But... with that backlit light on the illustrations, but still, there's something about holding this in your hand. It's really a tactile experience.
Did you read a lot on electronically on an iPad?
I do. For some things, I do. I have to say, my electronic reading is really listening. I listen to a tremendous number of books.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big fan of podcasts, big fan of radio, big fan of voice, and of narrated books as well.
Yeah, as you were saying, I mean, I'm sure it looks nice on an iPad, this book,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I'd enjoy it as much as, you know.
Yeah, me too. I have to say that it's just, the feel of it is lovely. The size of it is just—it's just a little bit taller than most books,
mm-hmm.
and the illustrations themselves—it's wonderful just to touch the illustration, kind of run your hand over these amazing colors and shapes.
Do you think, in the course of writing this, you look at life a little more differently? I mean, did writing about these characters that you do in the book, did that provide any insight into what life is about, perhaps?
I have to say yes, and that surprised me too. I wanted to write an upbeat book. I wanted the characters to solve their dilemmas in inventive ways, but in ways that also are real, but have an element of the unconscious in them. So several characters come to realizations after they've had a dream, for instance. M, for instance, her mother has money worries, and she, and before she dies, sells their family house. And M had no idea, and suddenly the house is gone, and she has to cope with this. And she ends up struggling in many ways, but M is a character who, in the story, quote-unquote, believes in muddling through. And she muddles, and she muddles some more, and she makes mistakes. But she, through her cat Moggy, meets Mick M, and many problems are solved in that way. And that sense of struggling with something, but coming to a resolution. And in the end, she has a dream, and she wakes up, and she realizes that she's moved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of literal thing where she had to move, but she also moved forward in life. And I wanted the stories to literally move in that way. Like, T is an old tree. She's seen the works. She says, "I'm no tragedian." She's had a lot of terrible things happen to her, between acid rain and terrible storms tearing down her limbs, and all these things have happened to her. And she throws a survivor's party every fall when her hair turns red, and she sheds her leaves. And that's the opportunity for many of the other characters, the letters, actually pass underneath M in her park. It gave me a chance to sort of move them all around into different tales.
In the course of writing this, were there words that you rediscovered or perhaps even learned?
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. E wants to write the Encyclopedia of Emotions, and so I'm looking up all of these words that begin with E, and making these crazy associations. And she also wants to run out and experience all these emotions, except it's too terrifying, and she goes home. But when I was going through there, I was learning all kinds of things. I didn't really know, for instance, what a gallimaufry was when I got to G, and which is just a collection, a collection, a variety of things. And G is a little collector. He collects bottle caps. And I got to make up words because some letters didn't have a lot of words that I could use.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got sort of playing around. So instead of fantastic, W is whacktastic. And Y was a real challenge because there weren't a lot of Y words, and so I really had to be inventive and sometimes use a Y instead of another letter in a word.
Yeah, I always thought Q was the more difficult word, the letter, pardon me.
Oh, Q was incredible.
Yeah.
I finally even got into fencing maneuvers. There's the Cortada maneuver, and I never thought I would end up having a fencing reference. But I really went far afield, but it turned out to be great. It was inspirational.
Yeah. So you obviously had fun writing this.
Oh, I had a great time.
Yeah.
The whole project, it's absolutely the most fun project that I've ever been involved in. I adored writing them, and I adored working with Kara. It was really, we were sad to see it end. And recently, I've started the Alphabetique Advent Calendar.
Mm.
And if you go to my website and click on Alphabetique, you can subscribe to it. And what we've done is taken little snippets from the tales and a snippet from the illustration and made teeny tiny daily messages from Alphabetique. And I think part of the reason I did it is that I missed it. I missed the book, and it was a great opportunity to reconnect and release these little snippets, little morsels of the book into the world.
So my copy of the book came with a postcard.
Yes.
And so, you know, usually when I get a postcard, I usually write on it and send it off to someone. But I mean, this is such a, the artwork is just so neat to look at.
And they are captivating.
Yeah, that I'm going to hang this or put this on the shelf.
Oh, good, good, because I discovered that people would say, I wish I could hang this on my wall. I wish I could hang that on my wall. And McClelland and Stewart was so wonderful. They have reproduced four of the illustrations as postcards, and we really had a big dilemma about which ones to choose. I don't know what card you got. What letter did you get?
It looks like B.
Oh, B. Yes, that's a big favorite, and it's a wonderful chair that looks like you want to sink into it. And there is a book, of course, open on the chair, and when McClelland and Stewart designed them and made them, we all felt that probably people wouldn't send them, that they would prop them on their desks or, you know, stick them on a bulletin board or even frame them, because they're just such a delight. We did Dee, who is an amazing deer with a great diamond necklace. And we did Jay for all of the cooks, because Jay is for jam, and there are these wonderful jam jars. And gosh, what was our other letter that we did? Oh, we did P. And P has a background of kimono silk, and Kara screened this silk. Scanned the silk. And so that she would then have a digital image of the silk for the background of the illustration.
So can people get the other postcards?
Well, many, many people have asked, and they have been given away with the books. Anyone who buys a book can get a postcard, but so many people have asked that I'm perhaps McClelland and Stewart will ramp up production and make them available for sale.
Yeah, because J and P are my initials, and it'd be cool to have on my shelf, you know.
Yes, that's right. Well, I think that we could probably get your J and P.
Molly, this was I've enjoyed talking to you today, but
I've enjoyed talking to you too.
Yeah, but beyond that, it's such a delightful book, and it's a fine achievement. Congratulations on it, and good luck with it.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your questions, because you provoked me to think about these tales in different ways and deeper ways, and I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. The website for more, mollypeacock.org. The book is called Alphabetique, 26 Characteristic Fictions. It's from McClelland and Stewart. Do pick it up. It's such a delightful read. I don't read fiction. But I enjoyed sitting with this book and looking at the art and marveling at the words that are in it. Who knew you could say so much with 26 letters? Molly Peacock joined me on the line from Toronto in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.